Ready for some hot seat rankings, Keith?
I am ready for some hot seat rankings. I love rankings. I love a good power ranking.
I love a good power ranking.
One of my favorites.
I'm a sucker every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Florio's got his.
Sure.
He fires Mayo every week.
It's great. Yeah, he does.
ESPN's got theirs. Yahoo. I'm a sucker for the power rankings, Keith.
Yep. You got one. I'll read it.
And, I think Tom made it very clear there. Tommy Curran yesterday on the Tommy Tuesday made it very, very clear.
That's right.
That, no one's getting fired.
They're bringing the whole gang back.
Everybody's back.
Yeah.
With some help. But I do want to point out that if I had to rank them from least safe to safest, it would go DeMarcus Covington.
Well,
really on the hottest hot seat.
Yeah. Ooh, piping hot.
Followed by Van Pelt. He likes Van Pelt.
AVP.
But he would have Van Pelt next. Then Mayo. Then Elliott Wolf, which means, according to Tommy Curran, very, very plugged in with the Patriots organization, the safest. They're all keeping their jobs, according to Tom.
Right.
But the safest person out of the big four, as you put them, Keith, the Mount Rushmore of Patriots hot seat
candidates.
These
are the big guns.
The safest is Elliott Wolf, which to me, yes. Big win for the Wolfpack.
That's just the nature of the job. I think it's because you want to give that guy time to see what he's got.
But they took forever to commit to the guy in the offseason.
That's true, but they did commit to him eventually. And I don't think there's any sign that he's good at his job. Like, there's no real sign.
No, I'd give you that. There's no real sign.
In fact, let's do that real quick. A separate power ranking. Who's the best at their job currently? They're all in new roles. The two coordinators, the head coach and the GM, are all in new roles this season. Who is, through 13 games, the best at their job, second best, third best, worst? I honestly think Alex Van Pelt
is the best at his job.
Is the best at his job.
Yeah, he
and
is.
That doesn't mean you and I think he's the greatest play caller or anything like that.
I think Wolf might be too.
Yeah.
Like, is that crazy?
I think it's a big drop. I think if it was such a big drop, I think it'd be AVP. There might be an empty tier.
Yeah.
And then, you know, frisky enough might be the rest of the guys.
I don't have a lot of evidence that Wolf is good at his job, but, like, I think there's a little TBD at least with Wolf because Kraft is in control of the spending. So I think there's a little TBD with Wolf. I think with Mayo and Covington, we know they stink.
Yeah.
I think we know with both of them. I think with Wolf, there's at least a little bit of doubt. I think by far the best at their job has been Van Pelt. Yep.
Twitch chat says, how is Wolf good at his job?
Nobody's say he's good at his job.
Correct.
No one said
Let's
that.
Let's clarify.
We actually said the opposite. We said he is not good at his job. He's bad at his job.
Greater than.
There's at least a teeny tiny bit of doubt that he could be good at his job where I don't think there's a chance Mayo or Covington are good at theirs. Not a chance.
Do you separate them much at all? Mayo obviously has more responsibility, so you can maybe give him more blame. But also, we thought the defense would be the strength of the team. Not like a league strength, not like, the dominant defense. But we thought the defense would be better. I know they've had injuries, but they've been a big letdown. I always highlight all the quarterbacks that have these awesome games against them.
Yeah, how would I rank though? I think I'd still have Mayo at the bottom. Because Mayo has this element of I don't know what he does. He doesn't do anything on Sunday. Like, at least I know what to hold Covington accountable for and not. Yeah. I don't even know with Mayo. And then Mayo has this thing where he's out there sticking his foot in his mouth every single week.
Does that quite a bit.
Including this week. We won Super Bowls that way. Oh, shouldn't have said it. That was stupid for me to say. Then he gets all jokey about it with Chris. Oh, yeah, I neutralized you there. Yeah.
Smoked you.
Like, hilarious that you suck.
Yeah, you're
3-10. And so, all of that just pisses me off. I think I'd have...
Neutralized.
Yeah. Neutralized. Bam.
I win today.
Like, what a moron.
Like, no.
And so, I think I'd have him at the bottom. The bottom of the bottom.
I have a Keith Spiracy that I've been hanging on to for
a
little bit.
What?
No, this is my theory. As we're looking at these guys, I think two of them... I think two of them have potential built-in excuses for where they're at. So I do think the two best in this are Alex Van Pelt and Elliott Wolf.
Yeah.
Low bar, admittedly. I also think both have a chance.
That doesn't make them good. Again, but just to reiterate, that doesn't make them good, just the best of what you have.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. But I also think Elliott Wolf might not be allowed to spend a lot of money or as much money as other general managers could, which would make his job a lot easier. Had he gotten a couple of big ticket items in free agency, we look at his job a lot differently. So he might be working under difficult parameters, just like we talked about even Heim Bloom with John Henry.
100%.
Doesn't mean the guy's great at it. It just means, all right, you're not you're actually not allowed to spend what you want to spend.
Right. If Chaim Bloom could have spent whatever he wanted, maybe things would have gone differently for Chaim Bloom.
So it's not a full-on excuse for Elliot Wolf.
I mean,
I'm just pointing that out.
He stunk too, but right, and Wolf might stink, but not all of it is Elliot Wolf's fault. Some of it is the owner controlling the purse strings. I'm with you.
And my developing Keefspiracy is that Alex Van Pelt might actually be a slightly better play caller than he's showing, but the head coach is the one that comes in and says, hey, burn some clock here, or we know he's the one that says, hey, we're punting, or hey, we're not going for two.
You asked this to Curran yesterday, Curran said, that's a great question. Yep. He thinks Mayo has some level of involvement in, guys, let's burn some clock here.
Correct.
As opposed to...
So big interception by Gonzalez, maybe Van Pelt. Now, I don't know the answer to this. So, like, this is maybe giving him more of a benefit of the doubt, but maybe Van Pelt says, hey, we're only up seven. We need to step on the throats here. We need to maybe throw it deep or whatever. Like, put the ball in Drake May's hand. But the head coach just told me to kill clock. So if I'm going to kill clock, I am either throwing like a quick, real quick short pass, or I'm just handing the ball to Ramondre and seeing what happens. We also know that it's Mayo's decision to kick the extra point against the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Van Pelt has shown a few pretty creative play calls.
It's either Mayo or it's who it feels like Curran wanted to blame yesterday, Rothstein.
Okay, fine, but not Van Pelt.
But, I mean, Mayo's job is to listen to what the guy in his ear is saying, but then make a final decision, so I'm with you.
This is my point, is that I think Van Pelt maybe, just based on some of the plays that he has shown, you know, we even talked to him earlier in the season about, like, the lack of motion. I feel like that's even changed. I feel like there's been more... But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's right. Motion in the ocean. So I feel like there's been a little bit more of that. There's been more creativity on offense, I feel like. Now, Drake May is going to be a big difference maker compared to Brissett. But I don't know. I know it sounds like I'm trying to make him sound like he's this great coordinator. I'm not. I'm just saying he's doing what he can with the group that he has. But he also has a very conservative, if not terrified, playing scared head coach kind of manipulating some of these decisions that he makes. So that's why I would say Van Pelt definitely won. I would say Wolf might have some excuse because Kraft might be like, this is all we're spending.
Right.
So then he's probably
there's a
two.
Budget, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a budget. And then those other two guys are definitely, I think Mayo might be the worst at his job of the four. And yet, Jones, I think he is the safest.
Okay, so you disagree with Curran.
I do. I think he's safer. I think he's safer than Wolf.
I think it's noteworthy that Curran has Wolf safer than Mayo. That feels like movement. That feels like informed opinion making there from Curran that Jerod Mayo is not a guarantee to be back next year. That's what that feels like to me. That doesn't mean he's done. Listen to what I'm saying. That doesn't mean he's getting fired. He's out at the end of the year. It's a sign that he won't keep his job.
No.
It's a sign the Crafts are not sold on Jerod Mayo. It's a sign that he's not a guarantee to be back. They may take a look around in the offseason. Curran comes on here and says, Wolf is safer than Mayo. I think that is noteworthy, I think it's informed.
Could be. Just because I still go back to not only the Thunder Buddies press conference, which was very odd in its own way, but just early in the season, the few times that Kraft spoke, I think NFL Network was one. He did a couple of interviews.
It was
here
on Amazon Prime. He did the one on the Thursday Night Football where he's like, we hired him five years ago.
Yep. And then I can't help but go back to when he was saying, like, the most important decisions in my life were, like, picking wives and coaches.
Mm-hmm. Young Thundercat.
So I don't think you then, 17 games into that, so you hired him years ago in your head. You said it's one of the greatest decisions you have ever made, and then a year after that, you're going to fire him? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to fire Elliot Wolf. I think if you start firing your GM after 1 year or your head coach after 1 year, you know, that is a bad reflection on the owner and the one making those decisions. So he probably doesn't fire either one of them, to be honest. But I think that Mayo is safer just because of that relationship and everything he said about him.
Okay. So Keith disagrees with Tom Curran. Who's safer, Wolf or Mayo? And is there a real chance Mayo's one and done at the end of the year? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. That is your phone number and the new text line here at WEEI. I hadn't been working the last couple of days.
How about this?
So you can call or text 617-779-7937. That's right. Just save the one number. That's
it's
all you got to do.
One number. Fire off a text.
I don't know if that's good or
bad. Text.
I don't know if that encourages more texts or discourages them in the meantime.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's good or bad. But there's a variety of ways you can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. You can watch and chat along twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always fun stuff there. And on YouTube, subscribe to WEEI. Ian Brockton in the Twitch chat says Mayo or Wolf gets no blame for the crap roster and Mayo gets an excuse or no excuse rather for having a crummy roster. He says weird take. And I'm summarizing some of it because it scrolled by. No.
Weird take.
The crummy roster could have beaten Tennessee, should have beaten Tennessee, should have beaten the Colts. Why'd they lose those games?
Yeah, I don't like
the coaching.
The lack of aggressiveness, and that's with this roster.
Gerard
this is the roster that they have.
Gerard
right,
Mayo brought it up yesterday. The crummy roster has them in 7 one-score games. Why do they keep losing the one-score games? The coach. That's what I think, and we're not giving Wolf no blame. I'm giving Wolf plenty of blame. Chukwuma Okorafor, horrible decision. Jalen Polk, terrible pick. Okay, those are all awful. But I don't think Wolf has the full autonomy to do whatever he wants in free agency. I think he's reined in by ownership. So I don't love Wolf. I'd move on from Wolf at the end of the year, too.
Yeah.
But now I got to pick one. Who's safer, Mayo or Wolf? I'm picking Wolf because I think there's 0% chance Mayo's good at his job. Zero. And maybe there's like a 1% chance Wolf is good at his. That's how I'd answer.
I am curious. I don't know the answer to this. I got to get the Rich Keefe stats and info department on this.
Yeah, good.
More one-and-done head coaches or GMs in the NFL?
Oh, I think it's got to be coaches.
So do I. I feel like GMs is very rare.
Yeah.
Like one-and-done? Because there are bad GMs that kind of stick around for a little bit. You want to see how the draft plays out. You know, I think what Elliot Wolf would point to, even though most people don't give him a lot of credit for it, but he would say Drake May. I got Drake May.
Yeah.
Traded Matt Judon.
I also
Hooper and Gibson have actually been pretty good.
I find it amusing. I don't give, and I never did. Before the draft, I said the whole time it's going to be an ownership pick. So I can't do this. But there's a lot of people who thought that Elliot Wolf was going to make the pick. And so now people are like, well, what do you do besides Drake May? Well, Drake May is the only thing you have. So I think ownership is the one who made that pick. They forced the hand on taking a quarterback. I think Wolf would have traded down. I think if Bill were still here, he probably would have moved around.
You think Wolf would have traded down?
Probably.
I mean, I guess I have no real way of knowing because he was...
There was a lot of talk about they like this quarterback. They could move down.
Yeah.
They want to stockpile picks, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know for sure. No, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I'm just being consistent.
Okay.
I say ownership had a big hand in that draft pick, so I don't give Wolf a lot of credit. But there's a lot of you out there that said, no, Kraft doesn't meddle. It's going to be Wolf's pick, blah, blah, blah. And then those same people like hand wave drafting Drake May. It's like, no.
Yeah.
We all agree he's the only thing the organization has. And you don't want to give Wolf any credit for that? That's wild.
Yeah, no, that is. But I mean, I think re-signing a lot of the same guys that were on a 4-win team. And that was insane. And then the offensive line has been an absolute debacle.
I am not pro Elliot Wolf.
Neither am I.
Wolf versus Gerard Mayo.
Fine.
That's all.
That's my
only take. Yeah. And by the way, that's what Curran said yesterday.
Yeah.
So who's safer? And is that a sign that Mayo's not safe and Mayo could be one and done? When Curran says, yep, it's Wolf is the safest out of the four, or is it just about the job, as you said?
Right.
Because coaches will get fired after 1 year. That's got to be super rare for GMs.
All right, if you had a guess right now, are all four back? Is one gone, two gone?
No chance all four are back. I know what Curran's doing. Curran doesn't want to be in a social media video saying, fire this guy.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no way he thinks everybody's back. There's not a prayer Covington's back next year.
I don't think you can bring everybody back. And I know it's year one for the four people that we're talking about.
Covington is like a guaranteed firing.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's going into year six post-Tom Brady. So if you're Robert Kraft, it's 6 years since Brady. And I know you had Belichick for most of it, and you thought that he would kind of dig you out of it or turn you around a little bit quicker. You haven't. So for the four guys in play, maybe it's not the most fair thing in the world, but nothing's fair. Life's not fair. And so how do you sell going from 4 wins to 3 wins to the fan base if you just trot everybody back? I don't think you can. Now, the other thing that Curran brought up was bringing in more experienced coaches to the coaching staff, which part of me, like, I understand that point. But, I mean, you have Ben McAdoo. And I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying you have Ben McAdoo on the staff. But if you're not the coordinator or the head coach, how much impact can you really have? I feel like, hey, we got all these, like, senior advisors. Like, okay. Like, you still have those guys as the coordinators, and that guy is the head coach.
If the coordinators need help, maybe just get a new coordinator.
Right.
Right.
That's what I think.
If the head coach needs help, maybe just get a new head coach.
Well, if the head coach needs help, I actually don't hate the idea of just like really good
coordinators.
If you like that. I think it's similar to a Joe Mazzulla thing from a year ago.
Yep. Or, so I was going to say in the NFL, that's a great one. What the Eagles did with Sirianni.
Yeah, same thing. And look how good they're doing. I think the guy that a lot of people want Jerod Mayo to be, or maybe even Jerod Mayo wants to be, is Dan Campbell. And how, even though they call play or their aggressiveness couldn't be further apart, but that's a guy that wasn't a X's and O's play caller, but he's a former player and he's kind of a motivator. But he also has two of the best coordinators in the NFL that kind of make his job a lot easier, whereas Jerod Mayo certainly doesn't have that.
One more time, Tom E. Curran, his Mount Rushmore of Patriots coaches, on the hot seat. He made clear no one's getting fired. I'm skeptical about that. DeMarcus Covington on the hottest hot seat, followed by Van Pelt, followed by Mayo, and Elliot Wolf is the safest out of the four. Your reaction to that? Does that tell you anything about Mayo and his job security? 617-779-7937, again, is your phone number and your new text line.
How about that?
At WEEI.
Very simple.
You can chime in here on Jones and Keith. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We have a lot we'll get to on the program today. Some thoughts on the Celtics and the NBA Cup with Terp when he joins us for his Celtics Minute at 11:45. Would You Rather is at 11:20. We'll mix in some thoughts on the Red Sox and free agency. Things heating up with Juan Soto as well as the hot stove gets hotter. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And then let's look at some of the worst teams from a year ago. The Patriots were one of them, and they continue to be one of the worst teams in football. How come everybody that was down at the bottom of the draft has improved this season, just about, and the Patriots have gotten worse?
You're going to ask me, of all these rookie quarterbacks, what I've been most impressed by, I would say Drake May. He's got nothing. He's got nothing to work with. And the whole worry was, we're going to ruin Drake May by putting him out there because of what we have around him. And the exact opposite's happened. Drake May's gone in there and made everyone else around him better, which for a rookie quarterback is, that's some rare stuff. So of all the fan bases, the one who I think should feel the most excited right now, it should be New England because of what he's doing with what he's with.
Daniel Jeremiah. I'm a fan of his work. I like his draft prognostications.
Move the Sticks, right? That's him?
Move the Sticks podcast.
Move the Sticks.
First down. Him and Bucky Brooks, I believe, do that podcast.
Yep.
Less of a fan of Bucky. I like Daniel Jeremiah and his work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I can go quite that far. Out of all the fan base that should be the most excited is the New England Patriots.
Is he talking about just the rookie quarterbacks,
though? I mean,
more excited than Chicago.
Yeah.
More excited than Washington?
I mean, maybe I'm just too caught in all the losses and just how miserable it's been this year.
It's a lot of losses.
And maybe once you hit the offseason, I'll feel more that way. I don't feel that way yet.
You don't feel that way, but I think if you actually played it out, you might. Because we've done a lot of, even with the recent opponents.
That's true. Would you rather be this team or that team? We take the
Pats
Patriots all the time.
Pats or Jets. A lot of these teams.
Pats or Dolphins.
Pats or Dolphins. Pats.
Right.
So I think it is more Pats than not.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. Just because it's Drake May. Now, you can't waste next year. You can't be like, you know what? We feel like Jalen Polk's going to take that step up, and we really like Javon Baker. It's like, no, you don't.
This is why I don't think Mayo's a lock to return, and I think Curran hinted at that yesterday. Wolf is safer than Mayo. Oh, he is? Wow, that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
I feel like that just got slipped in there, and we certainly reacted to it yesterday, that just kind of slipped in there yesterday. Oh, yeah, by the way, I think Elliot Wolf's safer than Jerod Mayo. Huh? Interesting. So Mayo's not so safe. And maybe this is why.
Okay.
And this is a good text. On the new text line, 617-779-7937.
How easy is that?
Just one number.
It's great.
Call us. Text us on it.
Put it in your phone.
I don't know if these are new texters or not. I don't really know what we're witnessing here.
Hard to say.
But keep sending them in. This is a good point. Dump Mayo, hire Vrabel. If there was ever a reason for Kraft to move on from Mayo after 1 year, that would be the reason.
Before Vrabel gets scooped up by somebody else.
Yes, he's compared it to his wives, and he had this 5 years ago, and he's never going to move on after 1 year. How embarrassing would that be? Well, what if you really did like Vrabel a year ago, but you had already committed to Jerod Mayo, and you never thought Vrabel was going to be available? Now it's in writing with Mayo. Vrabel is going to get scooped up, I think, this offseason. So what if you look at it and go, this is our chance to get Vrabel. We like him. He was hobnobbing in the owner's box last year. You were already committed to Mayo. You had to go with Mayo. You contractually had to do it. Now you don't.
How about this?
Mayo's got the job. Blow him out. Vrabel's there. You can bring him in. This is your one chance to get him. That's why they do it. Isn't that the answer?
Yeah. We might have cracked the case. I believe it was in All the President's Men.
Yeah.
Great film.
Woodward and Bernstein.
Follow the Money.
Okay.
So, Jerod Mayo had in his contract, I have to be the next head coach, and if I'm not, you owe me, was it $10 million? Yeah, I mean, there's different reports on it.
Whatever it is, but some sort of payout for not hiring him.
So exactly. Kraft, at that time, put it in, thinking that Mike Vrabel was the head coach with the Titans and was probably going to be the head coach for a while with the Titans. Things were going pretty well with the Titans.
Didn't think Vrabel was going anywhere, right.
So he feels like, all right, I have to move on from Bill now. After a four-win season, Kraft's talked all about it. We've talked all about it. So he moves on from him. And is it cheaper in the long run to hire Mayo for this year, pay him whatever you're paying him, then let him go and pay out the contract, or give him the $10 million or whatever, plus bring in Vrabel? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the number is. I don't know how it all works out.
Well, and
but
I
is it cheaper a little bit to do it this way?
It might
and maybe,
be.
And maybe that's another reason why.
It might be. And I know you're talking purely financial, but
yeah.
Then add in, and this is financial, what tickets were going on the secondary market for less than $30 last week.
So that's going to sting. That's going to hurt.
And now you're going to sign up for another year of that. And that's like get in price for the 300 level. But you saw it. You saw on the tell. It was a close game at the end. And at one point they cut and the whole top bowl felt like it was empty.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is feeling that. Mm. There is a damage to the brand that's going on with Jerod Mayo. It is damaging whatever was left of the Patriots brand. And so he is going to feel that financial sting, and you run the risk of wasting another year of Drake May.
Yeah, you can't.
So that's the way you do it, and that's the way you justify it. Well, I believed in Jerod Mayo. I never thought Mike Vrabel was going to be available. I also believe in Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to miss out on an opportunity because he was going to get a job. That's how you justify it.
I think if you move on from the head coach, do you end up moving on from both coordinators too? I mean, isn't that kind of the thing? Like, if Vrabel comes, like, you blow everybody out.
Maybe Van Pelt survives, but yeah, you're blowing everybody.
I mean, there really are a lot of different scenarios here, and you know, we've kind of both chalked it up to they're probably going to lose out. Like, they're probably going to be 3-14.
If you're not beating the Colts, you're not winning.
So if you're 3-14, I mean, I think Robert Kraft's almost forced to make some sort of change. If they somehow squeak out a win or two wins, I know that's a lot. But if they squeak out two wins.
Okay, two wins in the final month. Like, to me, one win is whatever. Maybe they beat Buffalo when they're laying down. Two wins.
So let's say you beat Arizona.
You won two of your final four. Is that enough of an upswing to save jobs? Maybe.
But what if it's Arizona? Let's play it out. It's Arizona, and then it's week 18, Bills have nothing to play for, backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's.
Do they count that?
That still might be
Mayo
enough.
Would. That, Mayo would be like, hey, five wins. That, I told you more than four.
I mean, look. I mean, all
Josh Allen didn't play.
All the betting apps are going to count it for the over 4.5. Yeah. So, that might be enough to save jobs. Yeah.
So maybe then you kind of trot it back, and then you would at least have the up. That would be the sell, though. Hey, it was year one. Drake May didn't even play every game, and we won more games than we did last year. So if we can improve next year, like then we're putting ourselves in a position. However, if you win three after, certainly expect they all expect to win more games. I know, like, a lot of, like, what's coming out of there now is, well, Kraft knew it was going to be a rebuild, and Kraft knew it was going to be a
while. It was going to be awful.
No, they didn't think it was going to be this.
Not this bad. Even if you thought, we've made this point a million times, even if you thought they were going to win three games at this point, which maybe you did, you didn't think it was going to be the Mayo clown show that it's been. You definitely didn't expect that.
Did not anticipate that. And also, like, the cut that we always play from last January when Mayo was on with Greg talking about, like, oh, we're going to win more than four games, I guarantee it, that one.
Put me on record.
But it's like the way he says it, it's like four is such a low number. Yeah. Like, seriously, like, you're four
laughable
wins.
Laughable that, like, we would win fewer than four games.
Right. And then now this is the reality. Like, you're staring at it right now. You're going to win less than four games.
And it turns out you are a joke. Keith, you brought this up yesterday after the show.
Yeah.
I did not realize this. So the Patriots were one of the worst teams in 2023.
They remain
one of the worst teams in 2024. So all the teams that sucked last year and were at the top of the draft and were bad teams must all be terrible again, right?
Turns out no, Jones. The NFL prides itself on parity, worst to first, things like that. Teams, miss the playoffs by several games can be in the playoffs the next year. Teams that are in the Super Bowl can miss the playoffs the next year. So if you look at the five worst teams from last year, there were only five teams in the NFL that had five or fewer wins a year ago.
Okay.
So in reverse order, at 5-12 was the LA Chargers. The LA Chargers were 5-12. They fired their coach. They brought in a new coach. And they are already
8-5?
8-5.
8-5.
They're 8-4.
Excuse me. 8-4. Strike that from the record.
8-4.
They have already, with still a month to go, won three more games than a year ago. They're trending towards being a playoff
team. So one of the five worst teams in the league.
The team drafting right after you.
Yep. They moved on from...
I'm sorry, that's not true. A few spots after you.
And they even moved on from Keenan Allen. They moved on from Austin Eckler, two of their better players. Now I know they're older.
Yep.
They drafted a rookie in the receiver in the second round. Looks pretty good.
Yeah. No,
and then they got a new coach. They
traded with the Patriots to get that guy. Yep.
Uh-huh. So they will be in the playoffs. Okay. The Arizona Cardinals were 4-13 last year.
It's bad.
They are now 6-6.
Oh, so they've already won two more games.
Already won two more games and have a, you know, coin flip chance of winning their division.
Yeah,
I know it's not a great division, but they have a chance of being a playoff team.
Right now they're tied for the lead in their division. Could be a playoff team. Could also make it potentially as a wild
card. So Chargers are going to be in the playoffs. The Cardinals could be in the playoffs.
Sure.
Another one of the worst teams last year was the Washington Commanders. They went 4-13.
Woof.
They are currently 8-5. They drafted right in front of you, took a quarterback, started him day one. They also got a new coach, and they are 8-5, and I think will be a playoff team. Probably a wild card team, but they'll be a playoff team. And then the other one outside of you was the Carolina Panthers. They were 2-15 a year ago. They made a head coaching change. They're 3-9. And some would call them frisky.
Okay, well, this is my point about them. They feel like they are. We were saying this a few weeks ago about the Patriots, so maybe, and we were wrong, so maybe we'll be wrong about the Panthers too. But evaluating it in real time, it feels like they're on the upswing. They took Tampa to overtime last week. They lost, but they took them to overtime. They were leading the Chiefs with 30 seconds to go. So it feels like they're on the upswing, and to your point, they've already won more games than a year ago while the Patriots are trending to win fewer.
They have five more games to play, and they've already won more games. So basically the point is the five worst teams in the NFL last year, four of them have already won more games.
Four out of the five.
Four out of the five.
Wow.
And three of them, I would say, two of them are locks for the playoffs. A third could get in the playoffs from being in the bottom five a year ago. Patriots were also in the bottom, drafted a quarterback who's good. So it's not like, we got Anthony Richardson or like son of a gun. We got, you know, one of the, like Jake Locker. Like, no, you got a good quarterback and you bungled it. And you even switched coaches because you're like, hey, four wins. Let's change the coaches. I was like, remember the Mayo cut that we played all the time last week about like, we never thought we could change the culture here. Did Jim Harbaugh or Dan Quinn or Dave Canales, did any of those guys change the culture?
Instant overnight.
They're all complete. They're all much better.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are much better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly two. Maybe Canales you could debate, but certainly two of them are overnight better. Yeah.
I mean, I think Canales, like, I think the Panthers are at least, like you said, trending in the right direction. They were dead last a year ago with two wins. They currently have three, which is not anything to throw a parade about, but I don't know. Maybe they squeeze out another win by the end of the year or not. They played two close games, Chiefs and Bucks.
Yeah.
So, like,
and it feels like they've salvaged Bryce Young to a degree, which I wouldn't have said a month and a half ago.
But it just goes to show you how teams that are in this state that the Patriots are in right now, the very next year can be a lot better. Like, 2 years in a row of this is tough for fans.
The five worst teams in the NFL last year, four of them have already won more games than they did a year ago.
Yeah.
The only team that hasn't, the Patriots.
That's right.
Why is that? Why has everyone else gotten better and the Patriots somehow have gotten worse? 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. I do want to get to Aaron Rodgers. You see that? I had no idea this was even in the works.
I didn't know this was a thing either.
Three-part Netflix documentary on Aaron Rodgers. I want to get into whether or not we're watching, and we all have thoughts on that. We'll do it next.
I live between two worlds of the extroverted
1, 2, 3, dominate!
And an introverted lover of silence. I'm trying to beat back Father Time and the expectations.
Rodgers ain't for everybody.
Rodgers has shared controversial and crazy conspiracy theories.
It just feels like you're either for him or against him.
Losing friendships, family. It was heartbreaking.
Here come the Jets.
I'm coming back to do it all.
What's the risk of playing?
That's not normal.
People getting to see behind the curtain.
Have you thought about going into politics?
Once I started my spiritual journey, everything shifted.
The metamorphosis is happening.
Most people are not doing the walking.
I'm not most people.
I'm trying to find what a new edge is.
I have to tell you, I saw this trailer last night. This is Enigma.
Enigma. Enigma.
a three-part Netflix documentary centered on Aaron Rodgers. It seemed like from the minute plus that I watched last night, we played you most of it there here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It seems like it's mostly about him entering the year, right? Like, it doesn't seem like it's going to cover a lot of this season.
It's been a rough season for
him. It's a lot of what went down in the offseason, his recovery, this and that, blah, 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 is mostly what it seems like it's centered on. I was watching this last night. It's one of the last things I saw before I went to bed. Schefter tweeted it out. I'm watching it. I'm laying there. And I go, what an a-hole. I just say this out loud, and Kat couldn't tell what I was watching. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this Rodgers, and it's
look
not even.
Look at this guy.
Honestly,
just
the trailer.
Look at him.
What we played from the trailer doesn't do it justice. You have to see the visual.
Yeah.
And you're just, what an a-hole. Ringing cymbals in his ear and smudging and sitting, lying down, getting like this weird treatment in dark rooms from, you know.
Is this his Tom versus Tom?
Yeah, well, yes.
Is that what this is?
It's exactly what I thought. I'm like, does he think he's Tom Brady?
I hold myself to a standard of greatness.
Does he think he's Tom Brady with like a Buddhist aspect to it, or like what, or like whatever it is? I don't know what sort of spiritual journey he's on. But
I don't
like,
know.
Does he think he's Brady? Because you're not Brady.
Remember
you
when
clown?
No, he is. He is a clown, and I'll tell you, I almost enjoy him because he's so far out there, and so many people are now ripping him.
You were saying this
off the
air.
I've gone the other way.
I know what you're saying, but I can't get there myself. But I know
what
you're saying.
So what happens is, in a lot of it, it's the way some of these athletes are covered. I then go the other way. So people went crazy. And it's one of the reasons I can't stand LeBron. It's not the only reason, but it's sort of the way he was viewed. Tim Tebow is a good example. When Tim Tebow was in college, I couldn't stand him. But then when he got to the pros and everybody was like, he sucks, he shouldn't be out there. I'm like, I don't know, man, he's winning games.
I mean, he kind of wins every week.
He wins all the time. So I kind of changed tunes. And so with Aaron Rodgers, people used to love him, whatever. And then he got so like outrageous, so out there that people really turned on him. I'm like, I don't know. I kind of find him entertaining a little bit.
So now are you watching this?
I don't know. The three parts is quite a commitment.
This is what I think.
I just ripped through three parts of the JonBenet Ramsey documentary.
Yeah, you've seen all three parts now.
Yeah. It's a heavy watch.
It's a heavy. You were telling me this. God, I don't think you had completed the series or documentary.
Yeah, I finished it last night.
But yeah, you were telling me it's a heavy watch.
It
makes sense.
Super intense.
Yeah,
like, it's not. It's certainly not for everyone. But
that was it necessary to have three parts of that documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah. This Aaron Rodgers
seems unlikely.
Aaron Rodgers feels like maybe
too much.
Maybe you need an hour. Maybe.
I remember.
I get it. He blew out his Achilles and he's coming back from it and he likes to sit in a dark room and
before he picked the Jets, didn't he go on like an isolation
take ayahuasca
thing?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they were like, oh yeah, what were you? And he's like, oh, I was in like a dark room.
Yeah.
And then they kept asking him
on
questions.
An ayahuasca
about it.
Trip, man.
But then it was like less and less a dark room.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, you could leave. Like, well, you could leave. Remember, like he kept adding
yeah,
because
and there
it's
were
like,
lights.
It's like, so you were in there for 48 hours or no? He's like, well, I mean, I had my phone. And you're like, wait, what? It was like not.
I could sit in a dark room for that long too with my phone.
It was not what it was cut out to
be. Give me a dark room for like a month. I could live in there with my phone.
I'd go for a nice snooze.
Yeah, I hide from my family on my phone. That's all I try to do. That sounds ideal.
The other story I loved is his ex-girlfriend Shailene Woodley, which could have been another one of these football power couples.
Oh.
She's also a little strange. She would eat clay.
Yep.
And then he would eat clay, I think. They would just eat clay together. Like clay pots.
Yeah, I think she was real big on expressing the private parts to the sun too. I think
is that right?
I believe so. Yeah, let me look that up. But
just
yeah, I think
naked to the sun.
I think so.
You might get burns.
And I think it was
soaking in some vitamin D.
I think it was a lot of body parts.
You ever tried to supercharge some water from a full moon?
No.
No. Neither has my wife.
Yeah, she totally doesn't.
She's definitely not done that.
She doesn't believe.
What do we do with it now? Do we drink it? Do we dump it on ourselves? I don't know. It's supposed to like charge up the water. I feel like that'd be something Aaron Rodgers would be up to.
Charge up the water for what?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was. That's a
ask my wife.
Honestly, no Nick, I'm ashamed of myself for not asking that question. Right? What were you?
Supercharge it. Supercharge it. You can maybe if you turn into like a werewolf, you turn back into a human if you drink the full moon water.
Now,
I don't know.
Now we're getting
holy water.
Yeah. No, so yeah, maybe. I don't think I'm going to be in on this. This
go.
Is one that maybe like the really extreme clips will make their way online, and I'll watch the clips. But as much of a character as I think Rodgers is, 3 hours?
Yeah, I don't need that.
I'm assuming it's 3 hours. That's how long the Ramsey one was.
Yeah.
Too much. It's probably too much.
Headline
remember
here.
Remember the Tom vs. Time one? Weren't they like 15-minute episodes? It's
honestly,
very weird.
I was annoyed when that came out. It was like once a week. I'm like 15 minutes every
15
week.
Minutes.
In retrospect, like
it was every day.
Was it every day? Is that what it was?
I think it was, because I remember that was during the Super Bowl week in Minnesota, and I remember being in the food court with my Orange Julius watching these things.
That's what annoyed me. That's why I was annoyed by it. I'm like, there's enough to talk about, Tom. We don't need this in the middle of the Super Bowl.
It's like 10 minutes of him getting a vicious rub down from Alex Guerrero, and then 5 minutes of him just like walking around.
If that thing were in the offseason, like 12, 15-minute digestible episode would have been great.
It is odd timing, too, for this to come out. So Tom Brady was literally in a Super Bowl.
Correct.
The week this came out.
Fighting off time.
Aaron Rodgers should be benched.
Losing to time. like you
time
read about.
Win.
Time is whooping his ass.
Smoking him.
Yeah.
Smoking
him right now. And it's coming out. That's true. By the way, Shailene, this is from Cosmo.
Yeah, what's Shailene Woodley up to
Shailene
now?
Shailene Woodley likes to give her...
Come on.
A little bit of vitamin D. That was a direct quote. That's a quote.
Dan Kirk has a bit about that. Just, you know, air it out a little bit.
Yeah. It says, comma, also eats clay. Right there, Cosmo.
Eats clay.
Yeah.
And sons her, you know what. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's working for her. She's pretty successful. I think she's going to be Janis Joplin in a new biopic.
Oh, nice.
They're just doing biopics of every singer of all time, apparently.
Yeah, the Bob Dylan one doesn't...
Is that the one with Timothy Chalamet?
Yes. Doesn't strike me as something I got to go see.
You see Barry... Is it Keough? How do you say his name?
Don't know.
Nick, you know how to say his name?
Keough?
Barry Keough. Like excellent actor. He's going to be Ringo Starr.
You know who doesn't need a movie?
Ringo?
Ringo doesn't need
I thought you were going to say he was cheating on Sabrina Carpenter.
Is it just Ringo or is it a Beatles movie?
Good question.
Ringo needs a movie?
Ringo apparently is a really good drummer. People sleep on how good of a drummer he is.
Fine. He's pretty legit.
He's a good drummer.
I'm not even saying he's not. He needs a movie now because he's a good drummer.
He's one of the Beatles. I mean, the Beatles are really famous.
Yeah, but I want to watch a Beatles movie.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch
Beatles movie. I'll watch that.
Yeah, I don't want to watch a Ringo movie.
I don't know. Let me see. Ringo movie?
Is it? He has Yellow Submarine for 2 hours.
Right. Isn't there... I thought maybe this is part of it. I thought they were coming out with like an individual movie on each Beatles. So like
is that what it is?
So if there's a series to it, then all of a sudden I'm in. But if it's just like a standalone.
Like the Beatles need more money.
Yeah, right.
I think it is a Beatles movie.
Okay.
I think it actually is a Beatles movie.
Not a Ringo movie.
So but the big casting news was he's playing Ringo.
Okay, well now we're talking. Now we're talking. I would watch that.
All right. Give that a go.
How long's a Ringo movie? That should be an episode of Tom versus Time.
That should be. If you did a 4-part documentary series on that, although I never watched the Disney Plus Beatles thing that people went nuts for.
Either.
That was super.
I heard it was awesome.
It was super.
Oh, you
so
did?
I haven't seen it. No, the thing is, because again, it's. I think it's.
I thought you were
a huge Beatles fan, but the thing is, I think it's 5 episodes, and each episode is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't need that.
You know what I mean? It's something like that, but I heard it was amazing.
Yeah.
They did a thing years ago. This is probably going to be close to 20 years. They did a Beatles anthology.
I know. So that I watched. I know
so
what
that
you're talking
I remember
about.
That being on. I remember watching that, but I can't imagine needing more than that anthology to tell the story.
Mm. How did we get here?
Aaron Rodgers has a documentary coming out,
exactly.
And he was with Shailene Woodley. Shailene Woodley is going to be Janis Joplin. It's like 4 degrees away.
Timothy Chalamet playing Bob Dylan.
Timothy Chalamet.
So
real good actor,
did you know
by
he's
way.
Singing the song?
So what would you rather watch?
Chalamet?
What would you rather
watch?
One
of the worst Oscars ever given out was Rami Malek for Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
He didn't sing the songs.
Yeah.
Then Taron Egerton comes out, sings the songs in Rocket Man,
yeah.
Doesn't even get nominated. Was 20 times the
just
performance.
Like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, he's got the teeth in. Yeah, great. He's got the teeth
look at
in.
That mustache.
Yeah. No, that movie sucked.
I remember Live Aid.
Did you watch Bohemian Rhapsody?
I did not. I'm aware of the blowback on it, but
it's
yeah, I did not.
Watch.
I did not.
It's a long, awful watch.
Straight Outta Compton set the bar way too
Straight
high for these
Compton.
Movies.
Excellent. Yeah. Straight Outta Compton was amazing. Rocketman was good. I liked Rocketman.
I like he basically plays Elton John in the Sing movies. He brings back like a million Elton John songs in the Sing movies.
Taron Egerton can act.
Yeah, he can sing.
Oh, is he good?
Oh, he can sing.
Yep.
What a voice.
Song and dance, man.
Johnny
Real
in the Sing.
Dual threat.
Johnny in the Sing movies is probably Lucas's favorite.
Yeah,
so,
is that right?
Yeah, oh yeah, mark that down. So anyway, what are you watching? You're watching Ringo movie or you're watching the Rodgers documentary?
No, I was kind of bummed out watching the JonBenet Ramsey thing last night. It is crazy, though, just how much, like, the media and, like, the police officers can sort of tell the story they want to tell.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of the public thinks a certain thing is the case when it is not. It's
yeah.
Crazy, crazy.
Well, I guess, so this is why I heard them talking about this morning. This just rung a bell. I heard they were talking to Mego this morning, and they went off on a tangent. Maybe Wiggy was doing a little defending of Aroldis Chapman this morning, I think is what was going on.
Jeez.
And
yeah,
and so I think that was kind of how they were tied together.
Yeah,
is the narrative can be told a certain way.
People in the Twitch chat that think Bohemian Rhapsody is good. I'm talking about the movie. The movie was awful. Maybe you like the song.
I'm not talking about that one scene in Wayne's World.
Yeah, if you're talking about Wayne's World, then I'm with you. The movie was trash.